Please turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Christmas is soon here. You're saying you're not even talking about Thanksgiving. I know, because Thanksgiving doesn't fit my illustration here. So I'm going to mention Christmas and something that children look forward to greatly. And they're not in here for me to ask, but children look forward to Christmas for getting or for receiving. Please help me out. They're always on the receiving end. And they look forward to their birthday because they hope to get something. But the reason children are so interested in getting is because they're immature and they have not learned the blessing of giving. So you can understand a baby Christian interested in receiving all of the time, but there has to come a time when that baby Christian gives. Or what happens to his growth? The growth is limited. That person hasn't yet learned the blessing of giving. Jesus is quoted in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35 as saying this: "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Literally, to be giving than to be receiving. It is more blessed, or it is more happiness. And happiness is related to contentment. The opposite of contentment is greed and desire to be rich. Do you know what the Bible says about a desire to be rich? "But they that will be rich fall into a temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." And it leads to misery. It's no accident that the most miserable people, who always seem to be hurting and in want financially, are those who have never learned to give. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about talent. I'm talking about your temple, the truth, and yes, your treasure, as we looked at last week. I remember going to the mall one time, and there was this phrase that was actually put up there, the words of Jesus: "It is better to give than to receive." And then they had the Grinch right beside that saying, who had crossed out the words "to give than," so that it read, "It is better to receive." Truly a Grinch. But unfortunately, that does reflect the attitude of a lot of people, even some Christians. Folks, the goal of our work should be to give, not to become rich. Listen as I read Ephesians 4:28. "Let him that steal," or "that stole, steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." And then when I was quoting Acts 20:35, where Jesus said it is better to give than to receive, the first part of that verse says this: that so laboring, ye ought to support the weak. No better example given than in the author of those words, Jesus Christ himself, whose life was characterized by giving. Summed up in this passage, 2 Corinthians 8:9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." He's the one who said, "Freely ye have received, freely give." We're continuing our series on the principles of communication. We've looked at the principle of stewardship, that you should be, as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, you should be a steward of all you possess, not an owner. That's the basis of communicating. That brings us to the second principle we want to consider this morning, and that's the principle of giving. The fact that joy comes through giving, not receiving. And so the theme of this is the joy of communicating. And here's my proposition. Here's the sentence I would like for you to leave with this morning. A Christian does not give because he is rich. He is rich because he gives. Or said another way, A Christian does not give because he is happy. He is happy because he gives. Are you in 1 Chronicles chapter 29? In this chapter, you see the great joy and celebration of the temple about to be built. David is going off the scene and he is talking about his son Solomon. And in chapter 28, he's giving his charge to Solomon. Solomon, build this temple. God has given me the plan. I now bequeath it to you. I cannot build this because, as it says in 28:3, I have been a man of war. I have shed blood. Therefore, Solomon, you build this temple. And then in chapter 29, David starts the chapter off by saying, now this is what I have done in preparation for this temple, by the way, that he would never see. And so he outlines all of the things that he has gathered together and that he has given, David himself, that he has given toward the construction of this magnificent temple. And I say again, that he would never see. And then you get to verses later on. Verse 6, then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains and thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly. Now we come to the offering of the people. And it says in verse 7, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams and of silver 10,000 talents and of brass 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. But here it is in verse 9. This is the verse that we're going to focus on this morning. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. In this verse, you will find three required ingredients for joyful giving. You know, when your food that is prepared for you is missing an ingredient, you're going to know it. Sometimes it just needs a little bit of salt. If it's chili, it might need some jalapeno peppers. If it's bread and you're missing the flour, what do you have? I guess just a mess. But you sure don't have anything that tastes good. And we recognize in the food that we eat that if there's a missing ingredient, this is not going to be good. In fact, I'm not even going to taste this. But folks, in our giving, three essential ingredients for it to be joyful giving. So joyful giving must have, first of all, the right object. Joyful giving must have the right object. Go back to 1 Chronicles 29:9. Who's the object of the giving? Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to... Oh, I thought we were giving for the temple. I thought this was for the temple. It may be, but they are giving it to the Lord. And this, folks, is what we have got to remember in our giving. To whom are you giving? David, I repeat for the third time, would never see the temple toward which this money was given. His giving was indeed to the Lord. When you give to a needy brother, you're giving to the Lord. When you do your work, when you give of your time, as an example, cleaning the church, it ought to be as to the Lord. When you give of your temple and even the food you eat and the exercise, it ought to be to the Lord. Sometimes when I'm exercising, because I don't necessarily enjoy exercising early in the morning, I pray and say, Lord, I'm doing this for you, so that this temple might be used for your glory. When you give to a needy brother, you ought to give it to the Lord. Jesus himself said that during the tribulation, there would be people who are going to be helping the Jews. And he says this, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have, you've done it to me. Giving to the Lord is actually, folks, going to restrict your giving. Not the amount, but to whom you give. Can you give your money to a church that preaches heresy and be giving it to the Lord? So you see how that giving to the Lord restricts your giving. You must be careful where you give it. So when you give your offering, be careful as to where you give it. Does it go to the Lord? Does it go to advance His work? Because the giving of money is like bidding somebody Godspeed, and you are partaker of their evil deeds, according to 2 John. Why give where your offering will be used to impede the spread of the gospel or to dilute it? Or to use the gospel for a man to build his own empire or name for himself? There is no joy in supporting the work of the devil. Many widows give to the ecumenical building of the church of the Antichrist. I know some who give to a man by the name of Benny Hinn. Maybe you know of Benny Hinn. You're funding compromise. You're funding the ecumenical church. You're funding the church of Antichrist. We need to understand the principle that is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, a passage I'd like you to go to, keeping your finger there in 1 Chronicles 29. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, please. Note this principle in giving. If you're going to give your money, your time, your talents, your treasure, here's what is first required. 2 Chronicles chapter 8. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. What city is in Macedonia that we've been learning about recently? Thessalonica. So think back to the messages we've heard from 1 Thessalonians. Verse 2, and how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Let me take it back to that phrase. But they first gave their own selves to the Lord. If one first gives himself to the Lord, somebody said, all other giving is easy. If you are truly giving to the Lord, you will not desire that other people know what you're doing. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Folks, if you truly give to the Lord as these people in 1 Chronicles did, if you're truly giving to the Lord, the attitude of the recipient does not affect your giving. For example, I go back to cleaning the church since that's a giving of your time. Is that to the Lord? By the way, if you do something as to the Lord, what's the quality going to be? You think it might be done well? Even the slaves, Paul is admonishing in Ephesians chapter 6. He said, and I'm turning there quickly, you can if you want to, but I'm going to read it as soon as I get there. Ephesians chapter 6, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. What would happen to your work if everything you did was not to men, but was unto the Lord? What if everything you did Have that thought behind it. I am doing this for the Lord. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, even in your eating and your drinking, do all to the glory of God. What would happen, folks, if we had that kind of an attitude? That I am doing this for the Lord. It would change your singing and your worship, that I am singing to the Lord. And you say, I'm just one out of a crowd of maybe 65 or 70 here this morning. But he knows your heart individually. And what does that do when each person sings as to the Lord? When each person gives as to the Lord? When each person lives as to the Lord? It is worship, folks. And so the first ingredient necessary for joyful giving is the right object to the Lord. Here's the second ingredient. Go back to 1 Chronicles 29, look at verse 9. And it's the adverb. Here's the second necessary ingredient. It's the adverb. Now, an adverb will often end, it'll be a verb that ends in ly. Do you see any words in verse 9 that end in ly? When you find it, please say it out loud. And how many times do you find that word? At least twice. So here's the second ingredient. Willingly. It's the adverb. And this has to do with how you give. The object is to whom you give. The adverb is how I give. An adverb is a word that modifies a verb. The verb is that they are offering. The adverb is willingly. What adverb would describe your giving? What adverb? Hopefully, willingly. Cheerfully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly. There's an adverb. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Not grudgingly. That is with pain or sorrow or affliction. Let's just leave the offering plates being passed around here for a minute. Let's go back to our time and giving of our time. Oh, it's time for me to clean the church again this week. I wish they would get somebody. You know, hey, listen. Not with pain, sorrow, or affliction. And then it says, or of necessity, out of pressure. And then here's how that verse ends. It says 2 Corinthians 9:7. For God loveth a, what kind of a giver? Cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. It's interesting that word cheerful is where we get our word hilarious. Here's the Greek word, hilarion. God loves a hilarious giver. Dr. Ward Anderson, Jeanine Dubois' father, said the true spirit of Christian giving is one of good humor and genuine pleasure. It literally should exhilarate and invigorate the believer. Think about it, folks. God responds emotionally to how I obey his commands, because the Bible says he loves a cheerful giver. I don't have much, though. Well, back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, then. Here's what it says in verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Jesus willingly gave himself for our sins. And he said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. There's other passages in the Old Testament that refer to a free will offering. What is free will? It's when you give willingly. It's when one chooses to give and does so voluntarily. So how is it possible to give willingly? I think we can find that here in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 with the giving of these people. Go down a few verses to verses 14 and following. Here's David blessing the Lord. And he says in verse 14, but who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? How can we offer so willingly? And here's the key in the end of that verse. For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Folks, there's the secret. We are able to offer willingly because this does not belong to me. Therefore, I can give it to God. It's his anyway. Why do you think it's so easy for the liberals to give your money away? Because it's your money. And when you realize that the money you have in your possession does not belong to you in the first place, when you realize that the time that God has given to you does not belong to you in the first place, when you realize that the temple, this church in your body, has been given to you and does not belong to you in the first place, when you realize that all of these things come from God in the first place and it all belongs to him anyway, I can give willingly. Even as David acknowledges right here. Go on to verse 15. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. We're going to leave this earth. O Lord our God, he says in verse 16, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name, where did it come from? It cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. You want to read about a steward, an Old Testament steward? I mentioned Joseph last week. Read about David right here in this chapter. Lord, I'm simply the manager of what already belongs to you. So the second ingredient, folks, necessary for joyful giving is the right adverb, willingly. So do you have the right object in your giving? Do you have the right adverb in your giving? The next question is, do you have the right motive? The right motive. Go back to 1 Chronicles 29, look at verse 9 again. Let's find the motive. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, there's the adverb, because with perfect heart, they offered willingly. Perfect heart. Whereas object is to whom you give, and the adverb is why or how you give. Now we have, and they have why you give with a perfect heart. And that word perfect is similar to where the word shalom comes from. Shalom, which means peace or whole, a whole heart that is at peace. In other words, you can be giving on the outside, but not on the inside. You can have mixed motives. Paul says this in Romans 12:8. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. In other words, no strings attached. We read in the Bible that God gives to both the evil and the good. The basis of his giving is love. If we ask ourselves if giving pays, we only betray our true motivation. Selfishness. Selfishness never inspires joy. An attitude of getting results in greediness and unhappiness. It results in discontentment. And it makes for a heart that is at war with itself. That's exactly what James is addressing in James chapter 4, verse 1, when he says this, from whence come wars and fightings among you? That's not among the congregation. He's talking about in you. Where does that come from? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members. And I go back to this verse in 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. If you go to that passage in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, you'll read there that the heart of the Corinthian believers at one time had the right motive for giving, but the opportunity to give was not there. In fact, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9, 2 and 8, 11, he says that they were ready a year ago to give, but the opportunity was not there. Now later, when the opportunity is there, give as you had chosen to do a year ago with the right motive. And in so doing, your heart will be at peace. It'll be whole. God speaks to you about giving something. And again, every time I mention the word giving, people think of money. Get that out of your mind and think of the other things that I've mentioned. Your body. We called it the temple. Truth. The proclamation of the gospel that he has entrusted to you. Talent. The gifts that God has given you. God speaks to you about giving. And you're determined to do it. It's what happens during a service when you come under conviction about something. And yes, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. You have purposed in your heart that this is what you're going to do. And then the fire burns out. And later you choose to slack. Then will your heart be perfect in your giving? Not likely so. When I traveled on a drama team and knew a friend in college, I remember this friend in college saying to a group of guys once that he was majoring in what he was majoring in, and he was hoping that one day he would be able to have the funds to support God's work. I remember where we were when he made that statement because I just made a mental note of it. That if God would ever bless him with money, he wanted to make sure he gave to the Lord's work. Well, this was back in 1994. Probably it was the spring of 1995. We were moving to Greeley in May of 1995. And Juanita and I were doing what we could to let people know about what we were coming out here to do, so we were trying to raise support. I was traveling to some churches, just like we have missionaries come to here and present their ministries. I was going to other churches presenting that I was planning, by God's guidance, to go to Greeley, Colorado to start a church. And even wrote friends. And by the time we left, we had 55% of the support we needed. You don't go to the mission field with 55% of your support. But we came. And here's one of the reasons we were able to do it. This friend who had said this, see, at the time it would have been 15 years earlier. One day I got a letter from him, and there was a check enclosed for $5,000. Do you know what that does for you? When you're planning to do something and you don't know how this is going to happen, you don't know how this is going to work. And as soon as I saw that check, you know what my mind went back to? It went back to 15 years earlier when I heard him say, if the Lord should ever bless me, I want to give to the Lord's work. You see, he had purposed in his heart 15 years earlier, this is what I'm going to do. And as it pertained to us, what an encouragement. And God has greatly blessed that man. He did not give in order to receive. Folks, true giving or true joy is giving without expecting anything in return. Like Jesus said, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. If you give only to get back, your motivation is not giving at all, it's trading. You are not seeking another person's advantage by your giving. You're seeking your own selfish gain. And giving is a form of worship. Worship is what ascends to God from us. Whereas the preaching and teaching of God's word, as I'm doing this morning, is what descends from God, his word, down to us. Worship does not focus on us. Worship focuses upon God. It is giving to Him. It is ascribing to Him worth, His worth. And so the motive, why I give, is very important. It should be to benefit God and His work. It should not be to benefit me. True worship, folks, is costly. It costs something. Even as David said in 2 Samuel 24:24, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. Some of the most unhappy Christians are those who come to church or look for a church in order to get. No, there's no one there my age. What are you looking for? You're looking to get. Come with the attitude of ministering and giving to somebody else. So I want you to consider the five areas of faithful stewardship that I addressed last week. I'll start with a T: temple, truth, time, talent, treasure. Consider your stewardship with what the Bible calls the temple of the Lord. He calls it the church in one passage. Do you come to give or to receive in the church? He calls the temple your body in another passage. My life is not to receive gratification, but to present my body as a living sacrifice. I give it. There's temple. Consider truth. Are you a Dead Sea Christian, always receiving and not giving? You know what a Dead Sea Christian is? The waters of the Jordan River flow from the Sea of Galilee, which come from springs even further north, and as those rivers flow south, they go into the Dead Sea, but the Dead Sea has no outlet. And nothing grows there. So are you a Dead Sea Christian when it comes to truth? Are you just taking in? Like this morning, you may say, well, that's a good message if you're not asleep. Well, that was a wonderful message, but what are you going to do with the message? There's no joy in witnessing because you're not doing it as to the Lord. What about your time? The time that you spend, is that given to the Lord as well? Your talent, is your spiritual gift used for your own edification or the edification of other believers? Your treasure, the money that God allows you to make, are you a welfare Christian? What do I mean by welfare Christian? Always getting for doing nothing. Are you only a receiver of preaching and teaching and fellowship, a place to worship, the materials that are necessary, the blessings, the music that comes? Or are you somebody who says, you know what? I can sing unto the Lord. I'm going to join the choir. So are you a getter or a giver? Isn't this somewhat convicting to you? These same three ingredients that you find in 1 Chronicles 29:9, that they offered to the Lord, there's the object, that they did so willingly, there's the adverb, and they did it with a perfect heart, there's the motive. Those same three things are found in another passage that I'd like to take you to. Exodus chapter 25. Interestingly enough, again, having to do not with the building of the temple, but that which preceded it, the tabernacle. Exodus 25, verse 2, a passage we would have looked at some time ago on a Sunday night. It says in verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring, who's the object here? Me, God, an offering. Of every man that giveth it, and what's the adverb? Willingly. With his heart, there's the motive. Ye shall take my offering. And so Moses commands this to be done in chapter 35. So go to chapter 35. There's God's command there in verse 25, or chapter 25. Now in chapter 35, notice the response of the people, verses 4 and 5 of Exodus 35. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. And it says, look at verses 21 and 22, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments, and they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets, and earrings, and rings, and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold, unto whom? Unto the Lord. Then go down to chapter 36, look at verses 5 to 7. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Now, a dishonest pastor or a dishonest television evangelist will say this: see, folks, you can never give too much money. That's dishonest, because they're not giving money here, they're giving things. Let's just, for the sake of example, let's say that we needed some chairs in here. And we said, folks, would you please bring some chairs? Could there be a point where we said, don't bring any more? We have too many. That's what you've got to use as an illustration here. Okay, we don't have any more room for the chairs. Here, they were bringing so much of their jewelry and so forth that they said, okay, that's enough. We have plenty. Money wasn't being exchanged at this time in Israel's history. So you can't use money here. But you can say, these people gave willingly, with such a willing heart that Moses had to say, stop. It's enough. Thank you, but that's enough. Why? The people gave to the Lord the object. They gave it willingly, the adverb. And they gave it with a perfect heart, with the right motive. Three necessary ingredients for our giving.